Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Mark chapter 9 as we continue our study of this wonderful short gospel. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 33, reading through the end of the chapter. This is God's word. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In verses 33 through 37, Jesus is following up on an argument that the disciples were having on the road as they walked to their destination. Remember the context. Jesus has just told them that he is going to the cross, that he's going to die. And they absolutely refused to understand and believe what he said. He said it very clearly, very plainly. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't symbolic. He told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." They didn't understand what he meant. A good rule when trying to understand the Word of God is to realize that God says what he means. And God means what he says. And that brief summary is not original with me. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. Well, aren't there things in Scripture that are symbolic? Yeah, we're actually going to deal with some metaphors in this passage today. But the best way to understand them is to believe them, to believe what God says. So Jesus has just told them he's on his way to be killed. And then as they're walking, they start arguing with each other about which one of them is the greatest. Can you understand why, when they get in the house and Jesus says, "What were you arguing about?" Nobody answers the question. Okay? They know better. It's embarrassing. Jesus says, "I'm going to die." They refuse to believe that and instead are arguing about, you know, when we get there and he sets up the kingdom and all, who do you think is going to be second in command, huh? I bet it's me. Oh, I don't know. I think it could be that one over there. No, it's me. That's what they were arguing about. And Jesus' question was not asked because he didn't know the answer. God often, all through the scriptures and still today in our lives, asks us questions not because he lacks information, but because we need to face the truth. And so, Jesus asks the question, they don't answer. Does it remind you of Adam? Where are you? And our parents were crouching in the bushes with fig leaves trying to cover their nakedness. How embarrassing. Jesus calls the disciples to him. And then he says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all. That is not this world's strategy. We are in a culture that continually feeds our sin nature, telling us, put yourself out there. It's not going to happen for you if you don't make it happen. You got to step out. I had a church growth consultant in Atlanta, Georgia, who told me very few preachers have the opportunity to grab the brass ring. It is within your reach if you'll just reach out. I said, I'm not interested in a brass ring, thank you. But I'm telling you, there are all kinds of folks out there who are happy to try and help you become even more of an egotistical narcissist than you already are. Okay? Who runs for president? Humble servants of the people. We did have one of those once. I think his name was George Washington. Remember, the people wanted to make him the king, and he said, no. We just got rid of a king. We don't need a king. Well, Jesus says, it's not just enough to let somebody else go ahead of you in the line. Go to the end of the line. Be the servant of all. Well, that's not a path to greatness. Yes, it is. Well, not in this world. How long does this world last? Read 2 Peter 3 and you find out that we are headed for global warming for sure. The elements will melt with intense heat. The sky is going to be just evaporated. It's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. Well, so what should I invest in? Eternity. If you became king of the planet and spent the rest of your life as an absolute despotic ruler, whatever you say goes, you're still going to die and have to face God. And that is going to last forever. 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 That's what Jesus is talking about here. So he tells them, if you want to be first, you must be the very last and servant of all. Who did that, by the way? He did. He left the throne of glory and came to earth and offered his life as the sacrifice that paid for our sins.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Then He took a little child and had him stand among them. I love the fact that over and over we see that Jesus had kids around. Jesus apparently was not the kind of adult that kids were afraid of and ran the other way. He's like a kid magnet. There are always kids around. And so He took a little child and had him stand among them. And then it says, taking him in His arms, He said to them, get that picture in your head of Jesus holding this child in His arms. Okay? That's the kind of Savior we have. Humble, tender, compassionate, patient, even able to enjoy little children, and they can enjoy Him. He said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in My name welcomes Me. And whoever welcomes Me doesn't just welcome Me, but the one who sent Me. If you welcome Jesus, you are welcoming God the Father. And guess what? If you welcome children in His name, you're welcoming Him. He says so. You just say that because you run a children's ministry. No, I don't run it anymore. My son does. But guess what? Jesus demonstrates that God the Father has a special love for those who are little and can't defend themselves. John at this point interrupts, and what he says is kind of out of the stream of what Jesus is talking about. Jesus has just said, whoever welcomes a little child like this in My name welcomes Me, and whoever welcomes Me welcomes the one who sent Me. John speaks up. He has something to report. He expects points for this. Teacher, we saw a man driving out demons in Your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. We told him to stop. Jesus has just said, whoever welcomes a little child in My name welcomes Me. John says, well, we saw someone casting out demons in Your name, and we made him stop because he wasn't one of us. You see, the disciples are still trying to control things. They want to make sure that nobody misappropriates our brand, okay? We don't want somebody else out there as if he's one of us. You know, I mean, you sent us out and we cast out demons and that's all great, but he wasn't on the team. So we told him to stop, and Jesus didn't give him points for that. Jesus said, do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in My name can in the next moment say anything bad about Me. I love the fact He includes the phrase in the next moment. In other words, He at least will have to wait a while before He says something bad about Me. He cannot in the next moment say anything bad about Me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in My name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Boy, I think the bar ought to be higher than that, don't you? I mean, you know, a cup of water? Jesus says, God's grace is far more generous than we tend to envision. Because we're still thinking we did something to earn this, okay? God chose me because I was so choosable, okay? I was just exactly the kind of person that any savvy coach would want on the team. And Jesus is saying, no, you guys don't get it at all. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. If you ever wonder whether what you've sought to do to serve the Lord and his people matters to God, this is the answer to your question. God sees what you've done, and God will reward you. But then he says something. I mean, now that's very encouraging, isn't it? Talking about rewards. But then he says something that gets back to the little child who's still there. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. You read this in the other Gospels, Jesus includes the phrase, and be drowned. Okay? This is not a challenging aquatic workout in order to teach him a lesson. Okay? Jesus says that there actually are people, I know this is controversial, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, because he does. There actually are people who would be better off dead. Jesus says physical death by drowning would be much better than what actually awaits them. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. I have always been grateful for my brother John's comment on this passage, and that is that this is not to be taken literally, because if all of us literally did this, all that would be left is a room full of belly buttons. Jesus specifically chose three parts of the body that on the one hand are very dear to us, but on the other hand, you've got two of each. See, if your hand causes you to sin, Jesus says, cut it off, throw it away. Well, my problem is I've got another one. That's not a reason to get rid of this one. That's a reason to understand that it's not really my hand that's the problem, is it? The problem's deeper. My foot, if I cut off one, I'd still have another. So I'm still going to be prone to wander. My eyes. Do you look at things you shouldn't? If you got rid of one eye, would that fix it? Afraid not. Well, so what does he mean? I thought you said he says what he means. Here's what he means. Whatever is precious to you, if it's leading you into sin, get rid of it. Oh, I couldn't get rid. Get rid of it. Because hell is real. And it lasts forever. Jesus said, everyone will be salted with fire. That's verse 49, and you can do the homework. It is the most enigmatic, multi-translations and interpretations of any verse in the Bible. Okay? What does he mean? Everyone will be salted with fire. Everyone will be salted with fire. Well, what? Everyone? Well, that's what he said. Well, does that mean like everyone in terms of you disciples? Or does that mean everyone out there in the world? Or what does it mean?
There are lots of interpretations.
Well, Pastor, what are you going to say? I'll tell you what I'm going to say. In the context of what Jesus is saying here, Jesus is saying not only that there is a fire that is coming, but that everyone will be salted with fire. And the image there goes back to Leviticus chapter 2, where all the sacrifices were to be salted. But Jesus is talking, on the one hand, about the seriousness of sin and the reality of judgment and the permanence of hell, but then he says something to follow. And we need to hear that verse in the context of both what he has just said and what he's about to say. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Jesus is talking about the cost of discipleship. And Jesus is talking about the seriousness of sin and the fact that we must not tolerate stuff that is putrid in our lives. We will either be salted for purification. In case you don't know it, salt is used as a preservative. It's used as a cleansing agent. Salt is good. And it can be used to make things better. But salted with fire? Well, fire can be good. Yeah. And it can also burn and destroy. You and I will either be salted for purification or given over to putrefaction and eternal destruction. You can't have it both ways. But the same thing, the fire of God, will either purify you or destroy you. If you embrace Jesus and surrender your life to him, you will suffer, guaranteed. But you will come out shining. God promises that. He'll bring you through the fire, and you will shine. If you instead are like, no, I've got to have this. I can't give this up. Jesus said, whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so, salted with fire, how that applies to you will reveal whether you have yielded yourself to him or whether you are still resisting and wanting to have it your way. Some, when he comes, will be blessed. And some, when he comes, will be destroyed. God's people respond, even so, Lord, quickly come. Is that your prayer? Or are you hoping to keep your kingdom a little while longer? Are you eager for God to have his way in your life? Or are you hoping that he'll let you have your way a little while longer? Our first parents lost paradise because when God said, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden except this one, the serpent said, don't listen to him. You can eat that fruit. It'll make you like God. He's a liar and the father of lies. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. After we blew it, God didn't say, that's it. You had your chance. He sent his son to die in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve. Even saying on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God's love is so magnificent, so generous, but you must receive it. Have you received it? Or are you still holding on to something you deem more precious?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.pastorwood.org.